one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I want to speak today on the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. Now, I like the book of Exodus because, as I've said before, it's a place where the children of Israel got out of Egyptian bondage. But God was going to take care of them. Let's read. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed, they only moved now, from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord. Now, that's good traveling, isn't it? They were going according to Psalm 121. That's right. Said according to the commandment of the Lord, they were traveling. Now the Bible said when God spoke, they moved. When he didn't speak, they stopped. I mean, they stayed right there. If God didn't tell them to move, they stayed right there till they got their command and their further clearance. I mean, God put them in a holding pattern when he wanted them in a holding pattern, hold them right there and said, don't you move a peg. And a time or two they decided, you remember over there when the spies came back and there was a committee of 12, I guess a representative from each tribe, and they came back. And 10 out of 12 voted, we can't do it. We just can't do it. Said, oh, those grapes are delicious and luscious, and the land flows with milk and honey, and the report's all right, but I tell you, that land is literally filled with giants. I'm telling you, we look like grasshoppers in their sight and in our sight. What could grasshoppers do with a bunch of giants? Nothing. And so, of course, there's a couple of them, you know, Caleb and Joshua. They jumped up and said, Mr. Chairman, I move you, sir, that we take right off and beat the daylights out of them. Said, we'll eat them like hot biscuits. Amen? That's what he said. Said, they're bread for us. We'd eat them up. Just take a little jelly along. And we got them. Take some honey from the land, flowing with milk and honey. We're going to eat them up. Said, if God delight in us. Said, if we're delightful people to God, why, he'll take care of that. You know what happened? They outvoted him. Said, sit down. This is a democracy. You know the reason I don't believe in democracy much anymore? I'm going to say this now. You'll misunderstand if you're not careful. It's because most of the people are wrong. If you let them vote, they'll vote the wrong way. I wish we could have a minority government and let me do the voting. You say, you smart aleck? No, I'm not smart aleck. I'd just stop all this sins going on. I'd stop every broken home. I'd stop all the juvenile delinquency. I'd stop the dope racket and the liquor racket. And I'd stop all the cigarette factories and all the cigarette farms. And I'd stop all the peddling of poison. And I tell you, I'd have me a decent place to live down here. I'd cut off all the automobiles, make people walk to work about 2 or 3 times a week, clear up the atmosphere, and I'd heal the soil and heal the soul and get people safe. And we'd be ready to go to heaven then. You say, you think you're smart. No, I don't. I just found that in the book. That's what the Bible says. I know there's a way for people to get saved and be happy. But if they give their hearts over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they got outvoted. But wait a minute. You know what? After they got to thinking about it, they said, well, I'll tell you what, we've reconsidered and we're going to just go on over there. And God said, you better not go over there because I'm not going with you now. You wouldn't pay attention to Caleb and Joshua now, then you just want to pull a fool stunt and go over there and show that you don't have to go according to two of my leaders that's filled with the Spirit of God. Now, if you go over there, you're going to get it. And sure enough, they did. You remember that? I guarantee you, they got the living daylights licked out of them. And why? They didn't go according to the commandment of the Lord. And that's it. And that's why we're going to... You know there's only one reason you've been defeated in your life. You didn't do what you did according to the Word of God. Neither did I. The only time I've ever been defeated since God called me to preach years ago is the times that I didn't go according to the Word of God. There's no way for me to be defeated. You either. If you go according to the Word of God, God's Word is eternal. And so he said, they went according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. There they are. and said, give us water that we may drink. Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? You brought us out here to kill us, and you know it. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They'd be almost ready to stone me. Isn't that it? I mean, that's it. People say, little girls come in and say, this is killing me. I mean, I'd rather die than to live like this. People, they look at, they hear the message, you know, the first time said, why? I'd rather die. He's killing me. No, I'm just trying to bring you to life. Trying to get you saved. Trying to get you happy in the Lord. You know, I wish sometimes we could have a happy girl to come in. Never have had one yet. Everybody's ever come been miserable. You know why? S-I-N. Sin. Wages of sin. Stamped all over them. Stamped all over them. In great distress. In great distress. Take over to house, fixing lunch bar, and talk to her. Faces some of the most serious problems you've ever heard of in your life. And yet, you know who? How come? Her sister cared. Call weeping on the phone. And I said, why don't you tell her to call? And so the telephone rang. She said, I know your sister told me about you. And she said, I just need some help. I'm desperate. I just need some help. And I said, well, won't you get on the plane? It's not but about 1,500 miles. And so the telephone rang. She said, I'm coming. Brother called me last night. He's concerned. Comes from a great Christian family. I tell you, folks, the field is white already to harvest. The labor's a few. We need laborers that'll be thrust into the harvest field. Why, I believe that girl is going to have complete victory. My faith grows stronger every day. I mean, the Word of God is just as plain and good and great as it ever was. And there's just no need in anybody in this building or under the sound of my voice ever being defeated again. You'd say, I've been defeated all my life. Well, that's enough then. That's enough. You don't need to be defeated anymore. Anybody, if you've ever been defeated one time, that ought to be enough. I mean, because nobody loves defeat. Nobody wants to be defeated. And so he said, they just about ready to stone me, Lord. He said, what in the world am I going to do? Can you imagine that here? I've already got him out of Egyptian bondage. We crossed the Red Sea dry shod. And we've had the sweetening of the water. We've had miracle after miracle. They've seen the power of God. They saw old Pharaoh's chariots go under in the big surging sea. And they saw the old horses drown and the captains go down. And Lord, he said, here they are turned against me and ready to stone me. Now what am I going to do? Now here's my text. And I like this. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on. Amen. I hope you get that. I hope you get that. That's my text. That's a short one. Only four letters. Go on. Some of you said, well, my mother doesn't encourage me. I haven't got a letter. Well, go on anyhow. You'd say, well, I just don't feel like I ought to feel. Go on anyhow. God said, Moses, listen, go on. It's hard to kill a man if he's got enough going on in him. Go on. Just go on. What did he say? He said, go on before the people. Don't sit down there and talk with them. You know, I tell you what ruins a lot of preachers. They spend too much time counseling with the enemy. They spend too much time trying to explain to the world why they're doing what they're, you wasting your time. You're spinning your wheel. You'll be on high center before you know it. Don't sit around talking to that bunch. Don't try to reason with them. I tell you what. And I wish I could say this to the preachers and the pastors of the churches. And I love you and I want to help you. And God knows that my heart's never been so encouraged since I've been living. I believe the Lord gave the message on come and see in that great first chapter of the Gospel of John. But the leader doesn't have time to listen to a lot of people except God if he's going to go on. I mean, there's a lot. You remember when Nehemiah got on the wall and he got to building the wall and he left the king's palace and he's the king's cupbearer and he got to fasting and praying and he found out Jerusalem was completely exposed to the ravages of the enemy and the sacred city's walls had been downed and destroyed and the city had been raised with fire and the people were suffering, little children hungry and the people were overrun and Nehemiah began to fast and pray and the king said, Nehemiah, what's the matter? There's sorrow in your soul. And he said, sure is. He said, my hometown, my folks, my kin folks. He said, I may have a good job, and I may be the king's cupbearer, and I don't have a thing to worry about physically. I got plenty of clothes and shoes and bread and food and a lovely place in the king's palace. But he said, I'll never be happy as long as my people suffer like that. Oh, he said, what do you want? He said, I want a leave of absence. I want a leave of absence. He said, you can have it. What else do you want? He said, I want permission to get some timber. I'm going to rebuild the walls. I'm going back and rebuild the walls. And I tell you what. And this is where I miss the boat a lot of time. This is where you'll miss it. He didn't go in and have a bunch of conferences with the leaders of the city. I tell you what he did. He got up at night. And I mean, he walked through the whole city at night in the shadows. He sized up the situation. He didn't announce to the world. He didn't announce. But after a while, the time came. He said, okay, let us rise up and build. He gathered his material and brother. Before old Sanballat and old Tobiah and that bunch of old wicked devilish kings, before they could get their gun out of the scabbard, he'd already pulled his pistol and started shooting. I mean, he'd already built a wall just about it. And they couldn't understand it. And they said, let's have a conference. And so they sent their embassy up. They sent a committee up. They sent runners up and said, will you tell Dr. Nehemiah we'd like to have a conference with him? Nehemiah said, well, go tell that bunch I'm doing a great work and can't come down. I don't have time for conference. I don't have time for committee meetings. I'm building a wall. You say, don't you know that's a shock to those kings? A little fellow like Nehemiah up there sitting on a wall and building and raising blocks and cutting brick and whatever he had. And word came back and they said, what time is he coming? Said, he ain't. Said, you don't mean it. Did you tell him who called for him? Said, yeah. That didn't have time for you boys. Amen? Brother Johnny, we've got to stay on the wall, my brother. We haven't got time. We haven't got time to have conferences with the enemy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sin, nor sitteth down in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree. He'll stand like a tree. And so we don't have time. We don't have time. We don't set. And that's the reason we don't have a lot of business meetings. We don't have a lot of conferences. We don't have. I believe most of our conferences we need right out of this pulpit and right down here at this altar like we've been having them. That's where we get the business meetings transacted right here. You get our people right with God and we stay right with God and love one another, behave ourselves. God will move us on. He'll move us on. That's what we got to do. And so he said, I tell you what your trouble is. You've slowed down. Now move on. Don't let that bunch scare you. I'm not gonna let them kill you. You think I didn't protect you when you was a little baby, laying in the arms of your mother, and in the ark of the bulrushes, and in the king's palace for 40 years, in the wilderness 40 years, and at the burning bush, and in old Pharaoh's office, and crossed the Red Sea? Now go on! Amen. Amen, bro, that's it. I want God's people to go on. I don't mind the devil's crowd slowing down. We can't slow down. Got to go on. And so he said, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod. Don't forget that rod. Brother, I tell you, if Moses ever lost that rod, he'd have been sunk. And let's tell you something. If we ever lose the rod, we're going to say, what's the rod? The Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The only rod we got. He said, don't forget your rod now. Take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod. You're going to need something besides elders. You need the rod. You can't handle the elders without the rod. Wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so. He did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is he here? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. What a picture of a victorious preacher. A hilltop preacher. Standing on the top of the hill with a rod in his hand. So Joshua did. I like the word did. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about did and do. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. I'm about to have to stop there a minute. We'll just park for just a moment. Did you know that when the preacher really holds up his hand for God, he'll win? And when he lets down, that's when everybody else goes down. That's exactly what's happened in our generation. We've had a letdown of the preachers. The preacher said to me not long ago, he said, "Brother Olaf, the best I've got in my church," and he's got one more big church, seats 30 some odd hundred people. He said, "The best I've got in my church would have been considered backsliders 25 years ago." He said, "There's been a letdown." Reckon why? Who's the daddy of this letdown business? Brother, the Bible said, Moses, if you'll hold your hand up, you're going to win. If you let it down, you're going to be defeated. Now, that's number one. And I had no idea. I mean, I didn't even look at the last part of this chapter. I wanted to preach, but there comes a time when the leaders need to know, including Brother Olaf, that our hands need to go up even if others are down. Our hands have got to be held up if we intend to have the victory. Now, when the leader's hands begin to fall, old Amalek's coming, and we can't defeat him. We've got to have strong leadership. Strong leadership. In the faith enterprise, I mentioned a desire for somebody down the Intercoastal Canal. A man and his wife, I mean a real Bible teacher, I mean a missionary. I said he'll have to have a tough hide and a tender heart. Patience of Job, courage of Daniel, faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the love of Jesus, the compassion of Paul, and the vision of John on Patmos. There ain't many people got all that in one, you know it. But that's what it's going to take. Oh, I tell you, I get amused that people said, just like a hymn he asked, "Let me run." No sign of a message. "I'll do it. I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." For about 2 days and a half. Brother, more and more, this ministry is going to demand missionaries. You're going to have to learn to put somebody else first besides yourself if you want real victory in your life. Oh, I urge and ask and request of God's people. If you're going to stay in the enterprises, let's make up our minds. This is a missionary field. All we have and ever expect to have must be laid on the altar to give unto Jesus. And God's going to bless us. Here's our mission field right here. Just look at the girls, the mothers of tomorrow. If there's ever going to be a tomorrow, this is our only hope right here. What you see in the hippie hives and the dope dives and in the rock and roll festivals and the modernistic churches and in the recreational department of this generation, they won't do to build a generation on next generation. If we don't do something with the young people right now and don't get some vision, I'll guarantee you closing out civilization in another generation. We're going into the dark ages again just as fast as we can move right now. And I do mean dark ages. You talk about perilous times, talk about bloodshed and murder. Listen, our generation has known exactly nothing compared with the perilous and the perilous times and the danger that's just ahead in the next generation. What did he say? Said when he held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now here's where we come to the radio friends, and here's where we come to the other precious workers. And I tell you, I don't have any low notes sound here. And if you think I'm going to whine through verse 12, and if you think I'm going to murmur and complain, and if you think I'm going to whip my precious workers and all the friends that have held these old weary hands up all these years, I don't have anything to complain about. But Moses' hands were heavy! That's nothing unusual. Anybody's hands ought to be heavy if he's holding anything in them. If he's lifting them up. Brother, you try to hold up your hands for just 60 minutes and see how heavy they get. They'll increase in weight. Your fingers and thumbs will, they begin to weigh 15 pounds apiece. Just hold them up I mean, just hold them up one of these days. Go back to your room and hold up your hand. So I'll be able to hold up my hand for just 60 minutes and see how you feel at the end of 60 minutes. Listen, Bible said his hands got heavy. His hands were heavy. Now, there wasn't any heavy. It just means that it was tiresome to hold his hands up. That's an unlikely position. And so he said, when Moses' hands were heavy, they took a stone. Two things. They took a stone and put it under him. They didn't bring a barrel of mud for him to sit down in or stand in. They didn't bring a bunch of slippery clay. Brother, they got the stone. You know what the stone is, don't you? Why, sure, it's the Word of God. He said, Brother Moses, just rest all your weight on the Word of God. Just stay. If you'll stay on the Word, we'll do the rest. Amen? Now then, I guarantee you, that's what the church members ought to tell their pastor. If you'll stay on the stone, if you'll stay with that stone that is hewed out the mountain, I mean, if you'll stay with that old rock, if you'll stay with the rock, we'll do the rest. We'll help you. You stay. You get on this stone and stay right there. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people. That means he gave them a fit. He did too. Brother, they had the victory. What did he do it with? And his people were the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in the book. Put that down over in Exodus chapter 17. Amen. Said, let's make a memorial out of it. This is great. Why, Brother Moses, looky here. This is a miracle. And I want you to put it down so that Brother Olaf and all the girls and all the people and all the radio friends, they'll get to hear about it. And they'll know that if somebody came along like Aaron and Hur, I've got some more Aarons and Hurs. I've got these boys around here. They'll hold up your hand. That's right. Praise God, all Aarons and Hurs ain't dead yet. You say, how do you know? Because somebody's been holding up my hand. I don't believe I'd hold them up that long. Praise God for the privilege of being in the battle and being... No, listen, we know we're going to whip old Amalek. He hadn't got a chance. He hadn't got a chance. This is the Lord's battle, and we're on the right side. And I'm glad, as I close the message, and this is the message. Moses, he started off in great despair, and he said, Lord, they want some water. They've turned against me. They'll be about ready to stone me. And you know what happened? God took that stone he's talking about it and let him sit down on it. Amen? He said, why, they're not going to hurt you with a stone. You've got to sit down on that stone. See? And so he just sat down on the stone, and Aaron and Hur lifted up his hands, and all he had to do was holler, sick 'em. And every one of them went out across there and defeated. Amen? I wish y'all would get as excited as I do sometime. I tell you the truth. I mean, this is real. This is not TV. I mean, this is so. Well, this is what God did for his people. And I'm his people. He didn't love Moses any more than he loved poor me. I mean, I got to have his blessing. I'm fighting a battle. I can see old Amalek all around. All around. I tell you, I read again over there where them horses and chariots got to running around up in the air. He said, I don't believe that. Well, you just missed the blessing. I see them. I can see the horses and chariots. Fact is, I think Elijah's doing the driving. Here he goes. Or you'd say, Brother Wolf, imagination. Well, leave it alone now, because it's good. Brother, I tell you, God's people need to rejoice in the Lord and have real victory. The day is soon going to be over. It'll not be long until the battling days will be over and the Amaleks will be put away. Jesus is going to step forth on the battlefield with his war clothes on. And he's going to take his sword of his mouth. And he won't let me fight in that battle. And my battling days will soon be over, dear friends. It'll soon be over. And I said in that little old paper that's supposed to strengthen the faith and tell the good news and give the glorious reports of what God's people together can do as they hold up one another's hands in prayer.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today was entitled, Go On. To receive that message on a CD, ask for offer number RO2749. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10, and we would also like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. To order by credit card, call toll free at 1-800-772-7507. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. God's Little Biscuit is an intriguing title for the special offer this month. God's Little Biscuit is a message by Brother Roloff illustrating God as he takes weak, humble, and sometimes fearful people and uses them for wonderful things. Now, Brother Roloff has taken the text from Judges 6 and 7. That's the way he builds the message. We're requesting the CD for $10, and you just simply ask for offer number RO1395 and include $10 to help with shipping and handling. And if you'd like to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you can write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, the offer is God's Little Biscuit. The offer number is 1395. Include $10 for shipping and handling. And the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now, as you realize, we're in the summer months now, and that's when the giving usually is really off quite a bit. So we really need your help right now, so I hope that you'll include more than just the CD. The address, again, is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.